or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go. All suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Raw Deal, where I do have a guest today I'm looking forward to introducing, and where I'm working against the loss of Mitchell to get things going here. Meanwhile, we have a radical Biden nominee saying that the quiet part out loud, that we want to bankrupt the oil industry. How bad is that? That would have calamitous effects, but these people are so lunatic that they think that wiping out gas and oil is the way to go. It would be calamitous, absolutely calamitous for the United States and even for the world to try to cut down. But that seems to be part and parcel of what's behind the moves to destroy the Line 5 pipeline from Ontario into Canada. Just absolutely stunning stuff. So what we got going on here is astounding. This is Saleh Omavera, the administration's dubious pick for controller of the currency, is a radical by anyone's definition. She up for a job that would put her in charge of regulating the country's largest bank. She published a paper earlier in the year with a proposal to end banking as we know it, too, according to the New York Post. And now it turns out that, sorry about this, getting the right number to get my guest on. She was a committed communist, planned a career as a professor of scientific communism, hit her Karl Marx thesis. Conveniently admit she was planning to be a professor of Marxism. Okay, hopefully we're on the way. Hopefully we're on the way to getting my guest on today. Here we go now with a more conventional discussion from here on. Born and raised in the Soviet Union, she graduated from Moscow State University in 1989. Amazingly, she still has nice things to say about the defunct USSR, where Western-style liberties were non-existent, countless millions died from man-made famines, arbitrary executions, and of course...
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system, 7065754292, is not available.
And of course, the notorious Gulag Archipelago. Forbes, which wrote an extensive article about her, advocates that consumer banking be taken over by the Federal Reserve and wants the government to direct where loans are made. In fact, her appearance is in the Jane Family Institute seminar was to advocate for the idea of a national investment authority, a top-down control of the economy that would basically implement the communist ideal of the state having the ultimate power over what, in a capitalist system, are free market decisions. For the record, the Washington Examiner noted, Omavera denies having communist or Marxist sympathies. She told the Financial Times she's an easy target for critics because she's an immigrant, a woman, and a minority. But it's the ideas she's espousing that are critical. They are leftist. They are radical. It's a horror show. If you have any doubt that Biden's on board with Omarova's thinking about fossil fuels, the White House has confirmed the administration is now studying the impact of shutting down the Enbridge Line 5 pipeline, which brings 540,000 barrels of oil a day, about 23 million gallons, into the United States through Michigan's Straits of Mackinac, according to Breitbart. If you haven't noticed, gas prices are already sky high. After his opening day decision to shut down the Keystone XL pipeline, why on earth would Biden consider shutting down another pipeline under current conditions? To make fuel prices go even higher? Is he trying to destroy what the radical left sees as the deplorables, middle America? Put the gas, oil, and coal industries out of business, nationalize the banks, and what comes next? Hand over the rest of our hard-won American freedoms to would-be globalist overlords? I don't think so. Omarova's nomination is a brazen show of the radical left's effort. Plans for America, and Biden is with them. They must be stopped. No doubt about it. Meanwhile, whistleblowers are going to play a key role in enforcing the Biden mandate. I mean, it's just stunning stuff. What's going on here? Key role in enforcing the Biden mandate. To enforce Biden's new COVID-19 vaccine regulation, the Department of Labor is going to need a lot of help. Its Occupational Safety and Health Administration doesn't have enough workplace safety inspectors to do the job. So what are they going to do? How are they going to handle it? They're going to count on whistleblowers. They're going to count on individuals to spy. The 490-page regulation will cover American businesses with at least 100 workers. And notice, in order for that to be 490 pages, they had to know well in advance. We have the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals putting a stay on this, but the Biden administration wants to proceed with it anyway. This is about as obnoxious and violative as the Constitution as it could possibly be. I mean, this guy took an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic, and now he's a principal party that's violating its constraints. So the government is going to rely upon a corps of informers to identify violations of the order. Employees who will presumably be concerned enough to turn in their own employers if their co-workers go unvaccinated or fail to undergo weekly tests to show they're virus-free. What's not known is just how many employees are going to be willing to accept the risk involved here. And I'm very glad to say we've got my guest standing by. So we finally worked out the kink. Meanwhile, employees who will presumably be concerned enough to turn in their own employers if their coworkers go unvaccinated or fail to undergo weekly tests to show they're virus-free. What's not known is just how many employees are going to be willing to accept risk of themselves or their job security for blowing the whistle on their old employers. Without them, experts say the government would find it hard to achieve its goal of requiring tens of millions of workers at large businesses to be fully vaccinated by January 4th. So we're turning America into a surveillance society of Americans spying on their fellow Americans. I mean, how disgusting is this? There is no army of OSHA inspectors that's going to be knocking on employers' doors or even calling them, said Debbie Berkowitz, a former OSHA chief of staff, now a fellow at Georgetown University's Kamanovitz Initiative for Labor and the Working Poor. They're going to rely on workers and their union representatives to file complaints where the company is totally flouting the law. Except the mandates aren't law. They're not even legal. What kind of a nitwit is this person who's at the Initiative for Labor and the Working Poor? She ought to be sticking up for labor and the working poor. We know, of course, the Nuremberg Code precludes using any experimental procedure on individuals who are not granting informed consent, which means they have to know all the risks and disadvantages, potential damages from a medical procedure, as well as the alleged benefits, of which there appear to be virtually none. Sherry Tenpenny, remember, has described these mRNA vaccines of Moderna and Pfizer as perfectly designed killing machines. We know that the World Health Organization has a data bank that now no doubt greatly exceeds 2 million of those who have had adverse effects from the jab. The deaths from the vaccine, I am absolutely certain, exceed 10 million, no doubt by many more orders of magnitude. It's grotesque what's going on here. The CDC, the NIH, even the American Medical Association have abandoned the Hippocratic Oath, which says, first, do no harm, because these vaccinations are doing colossal harm. In that WHO data bank of over 2 million, 70% are reports by females, by women and girls, because this appears to be directed especially to incapacitate fertility. Remember, this is a massive genocidal project of depopulation where the Georgia Guidestones specified that the number desirable on Earth is supposed to be 500 million, one half of a billion, when our world population is around 8 billion. So that's talking about extinguishing or terminating 7.5 billion. I was speculating about how they came up with the number 500 million, which seems very, very strange. And a commentator wrote back to me and said, actually, it fits the Talmudic approximation that every Jew is entitled to 40 slaves, and that if you calculate the number of Jews in the world times 40, you get 500 million. Well, I'm not now in the position to verify that, though it ought to be relatively simple to do, but that may be the explanation. I have no doubt whatsoever and am in the position to assert that this is a monstrous scheme of the Rothschild banking industry. They take responsibility for creating the state of Israel. We know our mainstream media is all dominated by dual U.S.-Israeli officials, where I have endlessly reported that I have a layout of 100 executives from CNN, 100 executives, every one of whom is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen, another 100 executives from NBC, every one of whom is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen, another 100 executives from the New York Times, every one of whom is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen. So they have complete control of the media. I'm relatively convinced they went all in for Biden and against Trump, because even though Trump had been exceedingly generous to Israel, moving the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem, for example, declaring the Golan Heights to be a part of Israel when the rest of the world recognizes it to be Israeli-occupied Syrian territory, defunding the U.S. UN agency that was assisting Palestinian refugees, and insult of all insults, redefining anti-Semitism by an executive order that would include any actions, criticism of any actions or policies of the government of Israel, which is clearly in the domain of free speech. So even Donald Trump was compromising our freedom of speech, which I find completely repulsive. I completely condemn that act. Trump, in my opinion, did a great deal of good for the country. He revived our economy. He made us energy independent. Lowest working wage earners were finding their wages rising at the highest rate. We had a Rasmussen poll, 40% of Black likely voters were going to support Trump. He'd put a clamp down on the border that was virtually completely successful. Let me say now, by the way, that Governor Abbott of Texas has come up with a brilliant solution. You know, all those massive cargo containers, one fits on an 18-wheeler, one. Well, he's using them to create a barrier. And look at the genius of that. They're heavy. They're virtually impenetrable. I don't see how any of these migrants could get over them. They're cheap. You can put them down anywhere. You can move them around. You can reassort them. This is a way in which Governor Abbott has done a completely brilliant move here in dealing with the border crisis. But of course, we have the Biden administration all in trying to destroy the border guards, the ability of ICE agents to perform their tasks. They've taken away their horses. They have basically nullified border control, because that's part and parcel of the plan to destroy America by changing its demographics. We had the clergy plan at work in Europe, bringing vast numbers of African migrants into Europe to destroy the culture and change the demographics so severely that now Sweden has become the rape capital of the universe. But the Swedes won't allow it to be reported, the race or ethnicity of the individuals who are committing these rapes, where in past, rape was virtually unheard of in Sweden, one of the most civilized societies on the face of Earth. But now they have run rampant. And where we have massive numbers of migrants coming into the United States on our southern border, and anyone who naively thinks they watched 1,000 miles has their head where the sun doesn't shine. I have videos showing convoys bringing these massive numbers of migrants to the border, and where the doors of the vehicles, the trucks transporting them, have the Star of David. So this is a clergy plan. We know that the Biden administration supports it. They're flying these migrants in the dead of night to various red states. Governor DeSantis has declared he doesn't want them in Florida, and he's going to start busing them to Delaware, which is supposed to be Joe Biden's former state, where I'm convinced, by the way, on multiple grounds, that the guy who's out there and pretending to be Joe Biden is actually simply an actor, where the whole of political theater of the Biden administration is insulting beyond belief, where they've set up a soundstage in the Eisenhower executive office, and where Biden allegedly took a booster shot. The fake Biden, the actor Biden, took a booster shot, and where photographs show the reporters sitting in the audience can see that it's a soundstage, but they're not reporting it to the American people, because Israel, the Rothschilds, control the media. All this is egregious and offensive beyond belief. Absolutely 100% disgusting. Here we have now Microsoft taking wokeness to a whole new level in a bonkers presentation. If you saw someone listing their preferred pronouns and their email signature was strange, wait till you see the latest leftist innovation from Microsoft, which, of course, was founded by Bill Gates, who's a principal proponent of the depopulation agenda, who spent years conducting seminars, laying a foundation for the fake pandemic by declaring that the greatest threat to world existence was not nuclear war, but rather a global pandemic, which he was in the process of assisting to orchestrate. This man is a scum of the earth. He and Anthony, Tony the Rat Fauci, and their colleagues, who appear to include Ted Koerner, Henry Kissinger, and obviously Klaus Schwab, the head of the World Economic Forum, who himself is a Rothschild, deserve to be indicted, arrested, tried, and hung for their crimes against humanity, where I'm convinced that Tony the Rat is going to go down in history as the greatest mass murderer of them all. He's already, responsible for millions of deaths. And my surmise is that ultimately the number of deaths that he will have contributed to is going to exceed those brought about by all of our foreign enemies in history, including Joseph Stalin, Adolf Hitler, and Emperor Hirohito. Fauci is going to exceed them all. The opening to a recent Microsoft event included one participant declaring their identity an example. "Hello, everyone. I'm a Caucasian man with glasses and a beard. I go by he, him, and I'm a security evangelist here at Microsoft." Another: "I'm a Caucasian woman with long blonde hair, and I go by she, her. I'm a product marketing lead here at Microsoft and co-host of the podcast Security Unlocked." Are we really to the point where we need to announce our ethnicity, pronouns, and even hair color when we talk to others? Microsoft claimed it was an attempt to describe those involved for the visually impaired. But the visually impaired number, for one, don't know what a red-colored shirt looks like anyway, and don't really care if the person was him, he, her, she, or had a beard or blonde hair. What happened to treating people as, well, people, human beings? Do we really need to announce our various traits, or we need to keep at least a little bit of our privacy in America? And when did announcing our ethnicity become important? The left's obsession with race is crazy. Frankly, they have gone stark raving mad. But that's because they don't have anything else to offer. I mean, look at the witness of the campaign between Terry McAuliffe and the Youngkin in Virginia. All McAuliffe had going for him was endless repetitions of the charge of race and that Donald Trump was bad. That was it. Race, 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 Trump is bad. Orange man bad. That was it. Hardly any surprise that Youngkin was responding to issues that were coming to a boil in Virginia, where McAuliffe committed the colossal blunder of declaring that parents have no role to play in what the schools teach their children, which set off a firestorm that was further exacerbated by the young man wearing a skirt who raped a girl in a girl's room, which the Loudoun school suppressed, transferred him to another school where he did it again. Youngkin was very smart. Trump endorsed him, but made no appearances on his behalf. Meanwhile, McAuliffe, knowing he was going down hard, brought in a series of Democrat losers, including even Joe Biden's, whose poll numbers are in the toilet. I'm convinced Joe Biden will go down in history as the single most despised president of all time, absolutely of all time. Brought in Stacey Abrams, whom personally, I just can't see what she can possibly contribute, and where we have more and more reason to believe the elections in Georgia, just as those in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, even across the entire country, were so massively rigged in 2020, brought in Barack Obama. I'm sorry to say, Obama's tired, old. He was responsible for initiating, by the way, the whole opening the floodgate for false flag events such as Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, Orlando and Dallas, Parkland, Charlottesville, Las Vegas, by nullifying the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948, which precluded the use of the same techniques of propaganda and disinformation within the United States that were heretofore only allowed without. He opened the floodgate by the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012 just in time to bring a Sandy Hook, a staged event like the riots, another staged event that our intel agencies have been running abroad as they seek to foment coups and destabilize governments worldwide. And by the way, bear in mind, that whole idea of conspiracy theorists was being promulgated by the CIA, which itself is conspiracy central, because they don't want anyone to be investigating crimes that lead back to the CIA. So how convenient to try to get public pressure against those of us who are investigating these crimes, carrying them as theories in the weak sense and theories in the strong, to test them and refute them. Back with my special guest after this break.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Hello, my name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday at 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, my guest today and I go back decades. He has extensive background with the military. He served both in the Army and the Marine Corps, where, as virtually all of you know, I resigned my commission as a captain to enter graduate school to earn a PhD in the history and the philosophy of science to launch an academic career. But he, Mike Sparks, has been doing a lot of good for the American people by advising the Department of Defense on the type of military equipment that's most appropriate to get the job done. In particular, when we were anticipating the invasion of Iraq, Sparks explained to the DOD that they needed to use track vehicles because otherwise those we were opposing would be using improvised explosive devices, and that if we use track vehicles, that we'd be able to save a lot of Americans from losing arms and legs. He was overridden by a general who wanted American military to lose arms and legs because he was interested in the development of prosthetics. Completely disgusting. This is only one of many issues where Mike Sparks has been on the right side and even the military, our own U.S. military, on the wrong. Mike, I'm simply delighted to have you here. Welcome to The Raw Deal.
Right. We're more organized than we were in the past. I've actually been able to be more cross-referenced with BitChute than with YouTube. So when YouTube deleted my entire spy-centric YouTube channel, it was actually a blessing because BitChute allows you to use a larger thumbnail picture. So the picture that you connect to your video actually becomes a meme. And the cross-referencing that you do with comments and in the replies from people is bigger. So you can actually present on its own in words your information in the video. It's not just a little description. It stands on its own. So my new channel now merges both military and spy stuff. My military channel on YouTube is still alive, but I'm not putting any effort into them because the hell with those guys making money for them. But it's both spy and military on BitChute, and it's Dynamic Para 007. So Dynamic Para, you know, dynamic para without the A, is the military reform, and then the 007 is the spy world reform, which it will be in one channel. It's the truth. There is overlap between the spy world and the military world anyway. So it's about time we converge them both together anyway. You know, people don't like it. A lot of people like to just focus on fixing the military because it's hardware, nuts and bolts, get off the roads, get moving cross country with tracks, with low ground pressure, avoid the landmines. They like that. I like it too. Kinetics are very laws of physics, objective reality driven. But there's no way we can avoid it. Well, I've briefed high-level Illuminati members. To show I'm not BSing you, Jim, I briefed the Secretary of the Army, Tom White, the Vice Chief of Staff of the Army, General John Keane, and the Secretary of State, Richard Armitage, on getting us off these roads and trails with track vehicles. They all said to me that they would do something. And then later on, I find they did nothing, and they go to Bilderberg meeting. They're Illuminati members. Their goal is to have us deploy and bleed. So whether you like it or not, you have to go there that the leadership, I hate to use the word, of our military is not operating in good faith. They're operating in bad faith. Part of the Illuminati goal of depopulation is met by weak military forces that prolong wars instead of winning them and ending them. You can, you know, tie that into the money motive, and most American civilian normies will get that. Okay, that's true. One of the goals of the Illuminati I wrote about in 2011 in James Bond is Real is makes maximizing your profits. But the depopulation has just not been working for them with war. Even with World War II, only 62 million. So what we have now is another way of killing people at a massive level with the poison vaccine or the death vaccine. If you take the vax, you will die within 3 to 5 years. I stop to let that settle in. This is not me talking. You can go to my BitChute and you see the Israeli doctor and other doctors say this. So you've got the entire nation of Israel has been vaccinated. So when you're wondering why or how people will come at the end times to invade Israel, since they have such a great Israeli defense force, with everybody dead and it's an empty country, it's going to be ripe for the picking. Almost everybody in Israel is taking the death vax. And people are already suffering. You can go to my YouTube channel. I've got a video where I show people tweaking, you know, they're twitching. It's awful, you know, from the vax. Now, they're not dead. They're suffering immediately from the side effects. So you have to question former president or actual President Trump's courage, lack of it, that he allowed this to happen. He allowed Biden and Harris to waltz into the White House. During the time that he was president, he didn't arrest any high-level Illuminati. You go to my BitChute channel, I've got the testimony of a banker, Belgian banker, who was murdered. He says there are 11 million Illuminati members in the world. These are psych sociopaths. Human nature breaks down into 25% psych sociopaths, 40% sheeple follows whatever authority figures tell them to do, and only 35% conscience doers. The number one problem in the world today is the Illuminati. You've got two branches. You've got the Rothschilds, which are half German, half Jewish, and you got the American Rockefellers here in the United States. They have two different philosophies. One appeals to type B personalities. They're in charge now, ascendant, with the tree-hugging, the woke-tard tribalism, all that nonsense, and they're sex-obsessed. And then you have the Rockefellers, and they're death obsessed. They're the ones that want us to go to never-ending wars, wave the American flag to get people to do it. They're not in charge right now. They were in charge in ascendance when W. Bush was president. So they take turns helming the White House. Right now, we have had a complete moral collapse with the 2020 election. The actual voting of the United States, you know, of American people does not count anymore. Complete collapse. And that's what you have starting this year when they waltzed into the White House and Trump did nothing. So you're saying people that are Trump apologists that he couldn't find 100 men with guns to arrest Biden and Harris and some of the key figures in the election fraud. I don't believe that. I'm one. I could probably do it all myself. I'd arrest the Clintons myself. You know, I should have one other person, you know, two-man team. But you couldn't find 100 people to obey the law. So that's the second part of this moral collapse that we need to talk about, Jim, and nobody's talking about it. The reason why no one's paying attention to all the details that you bring up, I bring up all the time. This, that, the other thing, this law, they were hoaxing for 30 days, violating, you know, section, U.S. Code Title 18, Section 1030, all that stuff is not taken seriously by the American people because the American people are nihilists. They do not believe that when they die, they're going to be meeting God and having to give account for their life. I'm sorry, that's just the truth. Every American, until you show me otherwise, is a nihilist. They're not willing to risk their life for anything, any cause. So that's why nobody wants to citizens arrest any Clintons or Bloombergs or Soroses, any of that, because they're nihilists. They want to stay alive desperately at all cost. So I no longer call our country America with a C. We are America with a K. We fell this year, just like the Roman Empire, Western Roman Empire, fell in 476 AD. History is going to prove that this was the year America fell. The complete collapse of the American ideal. And that ideal was weak, Jim. This is this Leave It to Beaver idea. that with 25% of your population, of all human beings, being psych sociopaths, no conscience whatsoever, that we can be like Leave It to Beaver and just let laws, things on paper, and lawyers and courts to stop evil. It's a lie. I think the biggest lie of America, we need to ditch, is this idea that we can just live life passively and have these bureaucracies do our dirty work for us. It utterly failed. You got Mark Levin, a lawyer, all these lawyers pontificating during the election steal that this safeguard is going to happen, this is going to happen, the states aren't going to do this, and then the Supreme Court ain't going to do this. I call them plans A, B, and C. Well, all of those safeguards did not work. The 1787 U.S. Constitution is a weak, mediocre document. In my humble opinion, I think it estimates human nature depravity, psych sociopath, 1%. It's too low, Jim. One out of every four people are a psych sociopath. And our government is not up to it. Our founding fathers did not create strong enough government with an active enough citizen participation to stop a secret society takeover of all our institutions, which is what's happened. Over time, the Illuminati have taken over every walk of life, including law enforcement organizations, which we call Leos, right? They're all Freemasons. They will not uphold the law, Jim. If somebody put, let's say, Attorney General put some paperwork together and showed, you know, airtight case against the Clintons, go arrest them. They won't do it because they got this in their mind that they're above the law because they're politicians, you know, public figures commanding, you know, followership, a large followership. They're above the law. Okay. So what that means is that Harris and Biden could go to a liquor store today, murder the store clerk, they have it caught on tape, and nothing would happen to them. You know why? Because they believe, Leos believe, that there's a 30 million Americans are nihilist, woke-tard hedonists, and they would riot if Biden and Harris were arrested, even though it was a slam-dunk case. That's the nihilism I'm talking about that's brought about a complete moral collapse in this country. No one gives a damn about the big stuff, let alone the little stuff. Right now, Biden and Harris should be arrested for felony hoaxing. I'm not even talking about whether they won the election or not. For 30 days, they said they were the president and vice president select when there was no announcement. That is a felony violation of Title 18, Section 1038 of the U.S. Code, which is a felony punishable by life imprisonment.
Mike,
and if you're a felon, you are not eligible to hold any government office.
Don't turn away from your mic. Don't turn away from your mic, Mike. We need to hear every word.
Right, right. Okay. I'll say it again. They felony hoaxed for over a month, Biden and Harris, that they were the elect when they were not. So it doesn't even matter what you don't need to go into the vote count or any of that stuff, whether they were elected or not. They committed a crime, and people have died because of it. Them claiming that they are the president when they're not. There was no announcement. And that disqualifies them from holding office. And nobody – Trump didn't arrest them. You understand what I'm saying? If you're a nihilist, you believe that you live your life, the lights go out, and that's it. So you damn well try to get away with everything you can while you're alive. And if you're a nihilist, you're not going to arrest anyone on little nitpicky thing. That's the way nihilists look at it, like felony hoaxing. And Trump also did not arrest anybody during his time. What I did was, you know, I was sick for a while, and I was not out of it during actually the early years of Trump. I was actually in the hospital. So I lost track of what was going on. I went back to a guy named Dimitri Baxter. He's on a website called News Punch. And I saw in 2016, before Trump was even elected, that they were talking about starting race riots, the Illuminati, and they were going to be destroyed by President Putin of Russia, declared he wanted to destroy the Illuminati. That explains why this Russia is always coming out of the mouth of the woketard. It's because Putin has declared the Illuminati rightfully as the enemy of mankind. And they were pushing for riots based on this tribalism, us versus them nonsense. Before Trump was even elected, you saw that with Obama, with the Missouri Ferguson stuff. They were already up to that, no good, you know, having bricks on pallets already preloaded, pre-selected, you know, to go to these places like where Kyle Rittenhouse was. But the truth of the matter is that if you're a rioter and you set fire to a building, that's an act of murder, potential murder. You should be shocked. So Kyle Rittenhouse is not just innocent because of self-defense. The government of Wisconsin, you know, the state government and the local police are guilty of not shooting those people, setting fire to buildings that could kill people. That's an act of lethal force to set fire to a building. And that deserves lethal force to stop it. So that's my opinion on the Rittenhouse thing. We need to have shot these rioters, and we didn't. So if you got this toleration of Trump then becoming president, and you have Madonna and Sarah, what's her name, a comedian, talking about killing him, and no, they were not arrested. This Trump tolerated all of this sedition being done against his office of the President of the United States. And he took it like it was a personal, you know, attack on him, and he tolerated it as if he was a, you know, celebrity, you know, reality TV show star. So Trump failed to understand you are President of the United States. You have an office to maintain, and it doesn't matter who you are and where you come from. If you attack the President of the United States with sedition, calling on people to murder the president, it just happens to be you. You have a legal responsibility to go arrest them. So there is a functional problem, yes, in the U.S. Constitution that the President of the United States has to run for re-election. So we'll say in the last year of his term, he has to be self-advertising, propagating himself. If we had had a better Constitution, we might have had a two-government head system like Rome had. To where during the, you know, last year of a term, the assistant president of the United States takes over so the president can campaign. So, but during that last year, the laws are upheld because no one was upholding the law during the last election cycle because everything was always being thrown in your face. Well, you're just doing that to try to get an advantage over your rival that you're running against. You understand what I'm saying, Jim, by this? Systemic problems in the U.S. Constitution. We need to stop worshiping that damn document. We are sworn to uphold it. Yes, in the U.S. military and law enforcement, all those people, and they're not doing it. It means you ought to at least read it, know what it means. But we've got to stop worshiping it. It's not that great, Jim. I think it's weak. It's mediocre, has no safeguards against secret society takeover, has no safeguards against false flag attacks. I've talked to you about this before on your show before. The founding fathers participated in the 1773 Boston Tea Party. They're a little sweet on false flag attacks, to put it mildly, okay? There's no inquest, no grand jury of the United States to conduct inquest into events. It's got this binary John Adams injustice system. When we need an inquisitory system, we need to first find out what happened instead of saying we can't do anything until we get enough evidence to stick in court so we can run, W. Bush and Cheney and all these non-Jewish theosophists into jail. No, we need to first find out what happened, and then we can figure out who to blame and make them talk, you know, through, you know, the power of subpoena. And they're like that. The country is just not that well organized, Jim. United States of America, you know, in 1967, after the aftermath of the JFK thing, the French operative Hepburn wrote Farewell America. And chapter two is his most important chapter. No one will read it. I copy it and give it to people all the time. I made a video of it. He just basically says Americans are dumbasses. They are people are kinetic. They conquered the West. They killed a bunch of Indians. They're not deep thinkers. Okay. We're just not. We don't think about life, the meaning of life. And we need to. This bit that we can just do something or tolerate something wrong and just move on is the American way. And it's utter crap, Jim. In the military, there are a lot of people saying, Mike, we've already made a decision to go to wheeled vehicles. Let's move on. No, you can't do that. That is a fatal decision that cannot be tolerated, or we'll get our butt kicked in war. You see that? But that's not how Americans think. Americans, normies think, well, the decision's already been made. Let's move on. And that's what they've been doing with this Biden-Harris thing. The election steal has already happened. It's water under the bridge. No, it's not water under the bridge. He and she are not legitimate persons holding the White House. They are illegitimate. They were put there in a CIA coup. And the American people have to face that fact. And if we don't correct it, we're finished. We're not going to have a country. So that is called Plan B. Plan D would be to remove Biden and Harris from office, which will take people with guns and risking their lives. And they're not going to do it. Okay. So I go to what I say is Plan E. Our biggest hope now is for Texas to leave the Union, and all the Bible Belt states in the South would join them. And we got to start over again, call it the Constitutional States of America, CSA, deliberately to irritate the woke tards, because it sounds like the Confederate States. You just do it to piss them off. But the CSA needs to be a constitutionally based country that starts with fresh foot, doesn't allow secret society to take over, has mechanisms to not let false flag attacks. You know, everything I've been talking about, we've got to learn from that 1787 U.S. Constitution in this next attempt. And I think that's our best hope, is leave. And if you asked about the transportation crisis, you know, with our food, if the United States of America became CSA, and then we'll call it whatever the Tards want to call it, United States of Poop, whatever they want to call, sex with poop, whatever they want to call themselves, there'll be two countries. The ports in Texas will receive more importance, and that's where the food for the CSA should come from those southern ports, and not all trying to get it all from, you know, the port of Los Angeles, you know, bottleneck. You understand? The country's too big. It's corrupted. George Kennan warned this was going to happen. Remember him? The guy who created containment of the communists in the 50s. George Kennan warned that the country's going to get too big. It's going to be unmanageable. In other words, the country's so big, and you got this minority of woke cards. They're nihilists. They're hedonists. They don't believe in anything. They want to live without any rules or any stoical structure. They're going to demand that they become the lowest common denominator that drives the whole country. Okay, we can't do that. It's just the sex with poop doesn't work. So those of us who are moral and stoical will not have that, and we need to leave. So I'm in favor of Plan E, Texas. We should leave this corrupted union, because if we're not going to get rid of these guys and disband the CIA, disband the FBI, you know, fix the U.S. military, we're not going to do all that dirty work, then we need to leave and start over. Now, what do you think of that?
Well, Mike, actually, I tend to disagree about the idea of creating a new constitutional state. I don't think it's feasible. I mean, I agree with all of your negatives about the current state and that it has to be remedied. But you're talking about creating a new nation with its own army, navy, IRS, a series of courts at a higher level and all that. I just think that's not a feasible option. I do believe we have to take some measures to end the vaccination. And I want your thoughts about massively vaccinating the military, because as you've been observing, These vaccines are lethal weapons. And when you have the Secretary of Defense declaring that everyone has to get vaxxed or they're going to be court martials, you are, in my opinion, in effect, decimating the national security of the United States by vitiating its capability to perform a military response. So I am floored. By the way, Mike, we're about to hit a break, and I want to come back and have, you know, you to elaborate further. We got a funny problem with your mic that seems to have an auto adjust, so you're coming in and going out. You sometimes faint and loud and clear, and then other times difficult to hear. So I don't know if there's any adjustment you could make on your end there. But we're almost through the break. Here we are. We'll be right back with Mike Sparks after this break.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting "This is a drill, this is a drill" on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons, and the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Mike, I want you to respond. I mean, I'm talking about practicalities, getting things done. It weakens the nation, of course. The idea of e pluribus unum from many one has been the great source of strength of the United States. The balkanization of America is going to greatly diminish the role of America in the world. Maybe some would regard that as a good thing. I certainly concede that most of our influence internationally has been negative, detrimental, fostering coups, assassinations, and the like worldwide to promote the profit motive of transnational corporations who themselves don't have a basic loyalty to the United States, but are glad to, you know, utilize our military for their own objectives. Justice Smedley Butler, in his booklet, War is a Racket, explained that he spent his whole career as a Marine Corps general benefiting businesses,
Wall Street,
and not the nation. Yeah, go for it, Mike. Just go ahead. Go ahead.
Basically, Plan E would be that by breaking away, we would preserve the moral stoical base of the United States from further attack, and then eventually we would be the rest of the country would come around and we would come back together as the United States of America. But you didn't want me to talk about, you want to talk about the decimation of the U.S. military with the vax, the death vax. The Roman legions decimated people one out of every 10.
Mike, I want you to talk about all of the above. I mean, look, I'm giving
you full reign here. Yes.
You had 30 minutes with no interruption. Obviously,
I'm
not interested in constraining you. I want you to talk about it.
Yes, I try to be organized. I do think
it's important to talk about the use of the vaccinations to decimate the American military, but that's
I got you. I just wanted to make sure we stay in a organization here, so we just not ad hocing this issue, that issue, and everything, so we got a structure. So in Plan E, we've got to preserve the moral stoical people of the United States and protect them. So that would be universal carry of those states that I was talking about that are moral and stoical need to immediately stop all of this gun confiscation crap and say all citizens have a right to carry concealed or open now, as long as you're not a felon, you know, you don't have a criminal record. And any laws coming from the CIA illegal government from, you know, DC-3, as I call it, are to be ignored. So that's the first thing, because if we don't have guns, they can take us to death camps. And according to Dimitri Baxter, they've already been taking homeless people and putting them into FEMA camps to get the wheels going with them. Did you know that?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Mike.
Right. So what we must do is not get disarmed and become in a situation like the minorities in Nazi Germany or in communist Russia. So we've got to assert those states in the Plan E world, the moral stoical world, have to oppose the immoral nihilist hedonist world. And even if the people in these worlds, these red states, are immoral stoics, I mean, they're just basically saying, yeah, you know, I just want you to work. You know, I don't particularly be concerned about your morality, but you better damn well work. There are a lot of people like that. And they're the people that go to wars and, you know, wave the flag. They're fine with killing, you know, drone striking kids in Pakistan, you know, the immoral stoics. But of course, they're just only half wrong and half right. the immoral nihilist hedonists are completely wrong. But the thing is, that's part of Plan E that doesn't have to go into fruition. I would just take it to its logical conclusion of breaking away, making an example of contrast to get the people in stuck in the blue states to rise up.
You
know,
you do appreciate that the Civil War was fought over whether or not states had the right to secede, and that historians generally believe the issue was resolved, that they do not have the right to secede. So I think there's a real issue there.
I've looked into it. It's kind of a nitpick thing. When you go into it, you'll say, no, it hasn't been resolved, is basically what it gets down to. But, you know, you go to the basic generic concept of consent of the governed, you will see the founding fathers said, you know, if this thing turns into a shit sandwich, which it has, you revolt. You know, I don't know. I can't say it any be more clear. Thomas Jefferson says, you know, what we got is pretty good, but, you know, if it goes south, you need to start over. They said that. All the founding fathers, you know, they're not coming from God here. This is just a human thing we put up. And its basic flaw of the 1787 U.S. Constitution is it lowballs bad human nature. In my opinion, it looks like it's about 10% psych sociopath. And the phonerologists have found out, you know, with the Milgram experiments and Stanford experiments, it's 25% of all people are, you know, psych sociopaths. And then the 40% will do whatever they say if they're in charge. So we can't let those psych sociopaths get in charge. And the Constitution was weak and let them take over the whole country. And they are in charge. So to get back to that subset, okay, that's Plan E, okay, separating ourselves, maybe ending in a different nation state with the hopes of getting the other half to see a contrast. What they're trying to do, obviously, all the time, is to use LCD against us, the lowest common denominator. So what they'll do with the lowest common denominator is we got to stay in Afghanistan because we don't, we'll have a terrorist attack. That's the lowest common denominator. And that's BS because the terrorist attacks, 9/11, were done by our own people. The CIA and the Mlencomp did it. See what I mean by the lowest common denominator? Now let's go to the vaccines. They're going to say, we've got to have everyone take the vaccine because the lowest common denominator is we don't want everyone to die from this China flu. But the real motive is 100% murder. Everybody that takes the death vax is going to die within 3 to 5 years. That's not Roman legion decimation. You know, one soldier out of every 10. That's 10 soldiers out of every 10. Okay, so I don't even have a word for it. Whatever the Roman number, numeral, Latin word for 9 is what we're talking about. A 9/10 decimation of the U.S. military would mean that we have no U.S. military. We'd be open for attack and invasion. How about that? Suddenly, in 3 to 5 years, everybody on active duty is dead. There will be no one manning the nuclear silos, nuclear submarines, bombers with nuclear capability. You see how terrifying that is? That's how dangerous this is. You're talking, you said the right words. We're talking about destroying the national security and national defense of the United States. But the word decimation isn't strong enough. We're talking about 100% annihilation of everybody that takes that vaccine. We're talking about if they're not dead, they're not healthy enough to perform their duties. You can go to my BitChute channel, and I have a video there showing people suffering from these symptoms. Oh, you know, they're not dead, but they wish they were. That they're not going to be able to do any military task. You see? And that's why I was saying earlier about Israel. They're all 100% vaccinated. So, you know, in the end times, these countries are supposed to converge on Israel. And all of us did this, okay? Everyone who's in the military says, I don't see how the Book of Revelation is going to happen when Israeli Defense Force kicks butt. Well, now you got your answer. There ain't going to be no Israeli Defense Force because everyone's going to be dead from this vaccine. And, you know, got the Holy Land open for whoever wants to take it. Now, the good news is only 50%, well, I guess that's not good news. All right, you know, kill me later. 50% of Americans have taken the vax. So that's out of 300 million, you know, let's round it off to 300. That means 150 million Americans are going to die in the next 3 to 5 years. That's going to be pretty horrific, Jim. Maybe that'll be enough to make the civilian normies wake up, because they really frustrate the hell out of me, Jim. They do, talking to these guys and gals. You know, they just poo-poo everything. Oh, it's not so bad, you know. I've already got two people in my neighborhood that died from the COVID shots, okay? I mean, how much more closer does it have to be? Okay, one died of a blood clot, and the other one, you know, what is it, enlarged heart. So yes. You see where I'm getting at is that they have won. The Illuminati have gotten their mass casualty event. So Gates needs to be arrested. Citizens arrested. So is Soros, Bloomberg, all, and Fauci, all these creeps. You know, and if you were one of these people who have taken the vax and you finally realize that you're going to die soon, you might want to grow a pair of balls and do it. You know what I'm saying, right? Go down fighting. I don't know. Maybe the American people are just wimps. They'll just go down, die, not even fight. Not me. No way. I'm not going to do that. You know, and that just infuriates me, injustice like that. But, you know, I had an abusive father, so I don't like that. You know, when you're young and your father's 6 feet and he's abusive to you, no, I don't like that. So, just a little personal insight, okay, why I'm the way I am. I'm fighting always for the underdog. But the deal is that 50% of America should survive this if we keep pushing back on the vaccine mandate thing. So basically, what's the bottom line? If you're in the military and active duty, you say, sorry, give me your pink slip. It's better to be alive flipping burgers at Burger King. I like Burger King better than McDonald's. Okay. Put a little humor in this, Jim. Okay. It's better to be alive doing that than, you know, wearing a nice uniform. You know, wearing the uniform is a nice chick magnet. I will admit it. You know, the beret looks great. Pink and green uniform coming back, but you're just not going to be able to enjoy it if they insist that the lowest common denominator is everybody be vaccinated, which means that you committed suicide, you know, functionally committed suicide. So can you weasel out of it? Yeah, you know what I mean? You can get some doctor's slip and say, you know, I have a medical condition, you know, and it wouldn't be wise to take vaccines, but you know what I mean? That's not the, not everyone's going to be doing that on a million scale. We've just got to say no. And the states could be doing that. The states could be havens for people who are not going to take the death vax. Okay. And there's also, you know, some low level things that we can do at our own level. And that is just, I hate to say it, no social contact. Don't go to football games and baseball games. For one, they're already woke-tarded anyway, right? So minimize your risk, you know, instead of playing that, you know, face mask works, yes, no, maybe it does, it doesn't. You know, minimize your contact with other people. You can go to Walmart and have a pickup instead of going to the store, even though that's good exercise for you. You can go online, order your Walmart, you know, food order and drive up to a stall, right? You're aware of this, Jim? And the people come out to your car and put it in your car for you or your truck. You see what I mean?
Yeah, sure, Mike. Jim, you know? Yeah, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen,
okay.
Listen, I want you to talk about Kenosha. I mean, it seems to me the prosecution case has completely fallen apart and that they're upset about it because it contradicts the official narrative of, you know, the riots are good, self-defense is bad, which is absurd. But when you even have the president of the United States, the guy, the fake president of the United States, declaring that the accused in this case is a white supremacist when there's no reason to believe it, a complete bullshit. but it's part of the Democrat propaganda because they're trying to use this as an excuse to take away our guns, where they defeated themselves, I think, by the defund the police movement. I don't think there's a chance that it's going to succeed any longer. But I want your thoughts about all of the above, Mike.
Yes, you've got the 40% that are going to do whatever the authority figures are in charge. And you got the 25% psych sociopaths, the Illuminati, instigating these riots and social, you know, tribalism of all levels. And so that make that the lowest common denominator. But those people have to be rounded up and arrested who instigated these riots. And the people that should have stopped the riots weren't there. They're absent, and they need to start shooting these people. And now people say, Mike, that'll start a war and riot. No, that's just it. We don't take anything seriously in this country. If you throw a Molotov cocktail at a building, you don't know if there's somebody inside. It's an act of murder, attempted murder, and they need to be stopped with lethal force. Speaking from a military law enforcement perspective, if I see somebody throwing a Molotov cocktail, I am authorized to use lethal force to shoot that person and kill them. And why that wasn't done, obviously, is because they favor this lowest common denominator of causes of the riot. And so what they did, you didn't bring this up yet, you're going to love this, on court TV, they call this whole case the killing of Anwar, whatever his name is. You know, the whooptard. No, it's not. This is the case of the self-defense of Kyle Rittenhouse, right? You see how subtle it is? They try to twist at every turn to try to make this look like something it is not. And if you go to my website, you know, my YouTube channel, you'll see one of the goals of the Council of 300 in the Illuminati is to call white black and black white. You know what I mean? They got a list of Illuminati, you know, maxims. And one of them is to turn reality on its head. And so that's an example of it. To take this situation, which is self-defense, this kid's acting as an actual deputy. You know what I mean? For all functional purposes, he's acting as a deputy, a deputized citizen, to try to protect these buildings from being firebombed and, vandalized by, you know, other ways, you know, kinetically with, you know, rocks and clubs. Firebombing is a chemical, you know, attack. Not to get too highbrow, but you want to be accurate, right? Okay, so these guys that he was with, Kyle was with a group of people that were de facto American citizens. And they were in every right to do what they were doing. They were in the right. And it shouldn't have even gone to court. He shouldn't even have been arrested. He was doing his the morally right thing to do. And he shouldn't have been arrested and charged at all, let alone have to go back to this final line of, you know what I mean, self-defense. I'm saying you don't need to wait for the woke-tard criminal to threaten your life. He is threatening others' lives when he's got that Molotov cocktail, et cetera. You see what I mean? We need to be proactive. And that's what I'm saying that this country needs. This country needs to wake up and realize Leave It to Beaver doesn't work. This whole passive civvy normie lifestyle doesn't work. We need to become active human beings again, that if you're, you know, in the mall and your kid is taken by somebody, some Illuminati member, and they're going to, you know, sacrifice them, you need to have a gun already on your side and you shoot that bastard right then and there. No court, nothing. We need to stop evil in its tracks immediately. Jeff Cooper said that. You know, there's a quote by Jeff Cooper, retired colonel, dead now. But anyway, he was a gun guy, had a system of weapons handling. I went through it when I was in Marine Security Force training. But basically, the Cooper-style shooting. But anyway, the point is, his quote is that the only thing that the criminals are going to fear is when we can fight back immediately, right then and there. This whole idea is foreign, Jim, of people misbehaving, you call the police, and they react. And they get there 30 minutes later, too late. That was not how this country was founded. I point to the movie Tombstone, which points out, brilliant movie, it's not a Western. Tombstone's about courage and leadership and human nature. it shows some woke tards who had that attitude in the town saying, oh, just let the Cowboys do what they do. And don't do that. We'll arrest you. No. You see, the idea was every American citizen has arrest powers. And putting a gun on your side, whatever, you know, concealed or open, you are a person of, whether you like it or not, de facto law enforcement. But that's the way it should be. Where did we get this idea that I'm not worthy? I'm a citizen. I'm a slime. I'm just a lowly normie. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to uphold the law or to stop criminals and thugs. And where did we get this pacifistic pussy victim, you know, attitude? And so I looked into it. It basically comes from London in the 1800s because of urbanization. People are closely together. That this idea of a police force came about. I'm saying it's crap, Jim. We need to rethink the whole way we live life is not good. And the conservatives who keep saying and worshiping the U.S. Constitution are hurting us because they're giving us complacency. We should have been upgrading that Constitution all along, and we haven't. And we're at the stage now we need to start over. Know what I mean? We go back to 1787 default. And start adding a whole bunch of stuff, and it basically comes up to starting over. And we've had this discussion before, but then again, if we have the convention, the Constitutional Convention, you just open the door for the lowest common denominator to come in and, you know, ruin everything. Yeah, but you know, got the other angle, which is what we've been doing, is leave it alone, civilian normie attitude. It'll just go, problem will just go away. We've been doing that, and look what it's got us. We're on the verge of collapse. We're talking about the United States of America not being here and definitely in another 100 years. It isn't working. We've got to face reality and change for the positive and learn from the past and make drastic improvements. And one of them is stop worshiping the founding fathers and the document and realize that all human beings are fallible and not just it's not perfect and let's tolerate it and we got to know. No, we've got to make improvements. We've got to be proactive. And I think that we need an armed citizen. We need a person who's a member of society that is expected to uphold the law. If somebody's being raped, we expect them to do something, not just look by and take selfie pictures or film it. You know, you've already got the horror stories. We're in moral collapse, right, Tim? People being raped in the middle of a airliner or something, and they just took video camera of it. Didn't do anything while this guy was raping some woman. I think it was on a train.
On a train. Yeah, Mike, I don't get what. How do you fault the Constitution? I think it's actually quite a remarkable document, and it simply
it has no mechanism of men with guns that arrest people for violating the Constitution. An example, Nancy Pelosi tore up Trump's speech, which is official U.S. government document, felony crime. There should have been people, constitutional police, whatever you want to call it, Mounties, you know, nerds, whatever name you want to call them, there should have been some men with guns that arrested her on the spot. We don't have that. Look, think about it, Jim. Functionally, there is no police for the U.S. Constitution. Okay? Think about it. We don't have that.
Well, nominally, the Department of Justice, the judicial system, I mean, the executive branch is responsible for enforcing the law.
They don't. It has to be more explicit than that. We need a constitutional police that arrests people with men with guns. They'll go into Clinton's house and pull his ass out and his bimbos and his lesbo wife and puts them in jail. Otherwise, they're not going to take anything seriously. And that's what happens in Washington, D.C. They break the law all the time and regulations, and there's nobody enforcing the U.S. Constitution. Okay? U.S. Department of Injustice isn't doing it. They're bogged down with crime. There's also a division of labor here, Jim. You've got 300 million Americans. There's just low-level crime. You know, the rape, the robbery. Jim Bob's mad at Billy Bob, and he whacks him over the head. they're bogged down, even if they were honest and doing their good job and good faith. They're too busy to be working on things like constitutional violation of saying that you're the president elect when no announcement's been made.
Mike, I want to announce for everyone who would like to call in, you've said a lot of provocative things here. I'm sure many would have questions for you. The number is today, the number is different. Mitchell's not with us. 415-691-6204. 415-691-6204. Mr. Rowe is here. I'm so grateful to him for filling in. We'll be right back with Mike Sparks after this break.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio. Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I want to reiterate the phone number to call in. Mr. Rowe is handling the lines and is producing for me today, for which I'm very grateful. The number, 415-691-6204. And Mr. Rowe will let me know if you're standing by, and I'll bring you in to talk with Mike Sparks and me. Mike, early on you talked about nihilists. Let me just say, you don't have to be a theist to believe in morality and justice and, you know, equal justice under the law. I am myself an agnostic, but I most certainly believe in treating other persons with respect, which seems to me to be the core of morality. The classic principle, as I see it, this is making a philosophical point, but one of enormous importance. Immanuel Kant, in what's technically known as the third formulation of his categorical imperative, said, we must always treat other persons as ends, meaning as valuable in and of themselves, and never merely as means, in other words, to benefit others, where classic cases of despicable behavior, murder, robbery, kidnapping, rape, all involve the violation of that principle by not treating persons with respect, but treating them merely as means. And the merely part is crucial because we have lots of means, relationships, students and teachers. Students are using the teacher to gain an education. Teachers could be said to be using their students to earn a living. We have doctors, dentists, you know, the patients are using the physicians to benefit their health. The physicians are using the patient to make an income. But if it's done with respect, this is true of lawyers and clients. It's true of, you know, virtually every domain. And what we have going on now, of course, is that this Biden administration is grossly disrespectful, doesn't care at all about the well-being or interest of the people. They're working as an instrument of the Rothschild banking empire, promoting a vaccine that is already known. It is known to be a death jab, to bring about massive harms to those who receive it. And where you're observing that it may well be everyone who got the jab is going to be dead in 5 years, as the world's leading virologist has observed. So it's not necessarily that you have to be a nihilist. You can be an agnostic. You can be an atheist. But if you believe in the basic principle of morality of treating other persons with respect, then you get the right outcome. And even those who
believe that. Yeah, but they don't, Jim. The nihilist doesn't believe that. He believes that nothing matters. You've got to go right back to what nihilism is.
Mike, the point I'm making is you don't have to be a nihilist and have no values. I mean, you're right what you're saying about nihilists. I'm saying there's another category here. You're implying they're the nihilists and then they're the God believers, the theists. And I'm saying there are other alternatives. There are atheists and agnostics who are not nihilists.
They're not populating this country.
Mike, I'm giving you plenty of time to speak. The atheists and the agnostics are not, therefore, without values and without respect for other human beings. So I'm just qualifying what you said early on because it was too sweeping. You're right about nihilists, but just if you're not a Christian or a theist or a Buddhist.
I didn't say that.
That does not mean you're a nihilist.
Nope. I am saying every American is a functional nihilist. Including the so-called Bible-believing Christians, if they will not put their life on the line to uphold laws, let alone regulations, like do not hoax, like Biden and Harris did, then we're a country of functional nihilists. Yes, including your people in the category of concocting a morality not based on any theism. Functional nihilism means I'm not putting my ass on the line to stand up for anything. And I want that clear because that's exactly what's happened in our country. We've had a moral collapse. People are not even saying that for a beneficial relationship, I'm going to keep doing the right thing. I'm talking about everybody is showing their ass now a complete moral collapse in the smallest things and affairs in life. People are trying to get away with dirt to the big events. And it's a moral collapse, just like Rome in 476 AD, Western Roman Empire fell. I just get my idea out there and you think about it, because it's the truth. I wish it was true, Jim, that,
you
know,
you
could hold it together.
What you're talking about is not nihilism. You're talking about an absence of moral courage. And I would certainly agree. There's
not
a lot.
I'm talking about nihilism. I mean, look it up. It believes that there's a belief in nothing. Nothing has any value.
Mike,
is nihilism.
For God's sake, I'm a professional philosopher. Don't lecture me on the meaning of nihilism. What I'm telling you is you're not making the right distinction. It's not nihilism per se.
No,
it's
making the right decision. I could go to the dictionary and pull it up for you.
Oh, Mike, come on. Don't be insulting.
No.
I'm
not being insulting. I'm trying to explain to you why no one has the moral courage, because they don't believe that anything has any value, even in a reciprocal relationship. Like you're saying, they're saying fuck the reciprocal relationship, the utilitarianism of treating others kindly and then I'll get something in return. This is a live and let die society. They're just saying, the hell with it. I'm going to go for what I can get away with. And what the maximum of I can get away with, because when the lights go out, that's it. I cease to exist. You know, that's nihilism. That's the despair of nihilism. Nothing has any value. So that's why you can't get any action on your points, Jim. You've got all these points, and you're wondering why no one's doing anything. No one's doing anything. No one's doing anything. And I got my points. No one's doing anything. No one's doing anything. Because they're nihilists. They're not willing to put the moral courage has to have the belief that it's valuable to risk your life for something. And this country right now, nobody believes in anything risking their life for. Think about that. That's what it is. That's nihilism. You know, by any other means.
You make a lot of good points, but in my opinion, you have simply misuse the word, and I'm simply seeking to clarify that it's not quite exactly as you portray it.
I'm trying to talk about a mentality, not a word.
Mike,
you guys,
don't talk. I haven't been talking over you. Don't talk over me. You got it?
This is worth arguing about, Jim. This is worth arguing about. This is why we're in the mess we're in.
I'm all for arguing about. Obviously, we have. Let me invite Mr. Rowe has been very patiently listening in. He's very intelligent, has shows of his own. Mr. Rowe, I'd welcome your comments on all of our exchange here. Your thoughts.
Hey, Jim. This is Bernie.
Okay, go ahead. Speak up. I didn't have a notice you were standing by. Go ahead. Give us your thoughts.
Yeah, well, I got a few things to say about that, because, for instance, I was on the subway in New York one afternoon, right? And this crazy guy was coming through the subway, and there's a woman there with three kids. And I got close to them to make sure they didn't touch them. And the rest of the passengers on the other side of the subway knew what I was doing, and we all crowded around them so nothing would happen. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah, go ahead.
And I lived in a block where there's a lot of stuff going on in the street. And some woman was screaming at 2 o'clock in the morning, right? I got my clothes on, ran down the stairs in my two sticks just in case somebody had a knife. And the police were already there. The neighbors were already out in the street. I'm talking about everybody was out there. And this took about 5 minutes for all this to happen, less than that probably for the ones on street level. So we don't just sit around and let things happen. You may think so, but I've been, you know, some woman's getting beat up on the side of the road. I pull over, somebody else pulls over. We all get out of the car, call the police, and tell the guy to back off, or we're coming for him.
Yes.
I mean, this is stuff. We don't. I don't hang around and let stuff happen.
This is good.
You know what I'm talking
about? That's good, but you're not the majority.
Well, you're not there are a lot of other people down there besides me. There's other people that are involved. If one person moves forward, everybody else goes too. You know, they're just waiting for somebody to make the first move. I've had all kinds of things I had to deal with, and I deal with it immediately. Yeah.
That's the right thing to do, but it's not happening all across the country.
Well, it depends where you live. You know, sometimes you have to do it, or that's the way it is. You die, that's the way it is, you know. Who cares? I mean, your job is to bring civility to the street. You understand? It's about...
I believe this is...
Yeah, it's a good example. It's a good example of what I'm saying, that we need that.
Mike, hang on a second. I believe this is why the Kyle Rittenhouse case is so important. He sets an inspiring example. He was acting in self-defense. He was taking a proactive position, going out as a medic, seeking to, you know, defend property from looting and arson. Everything he did seems to me to have been perfectly appropriate and, in fact, even inspiring, so that I regard him as a great American. The prosecution in this case is making out a an attack upon him that suggests basically rioting is good and self-defense is bad, which is just the opposite of what we ought to be standing up for. So here you have a deplorable prosecutor, no doubt one who benefited from George Soros money because he'd been seeking to corrupt the judicial, you know, our system of a law and order throughout the country in order to fulfill his aspirations to destroy America during his lifetime. And he seems to be well on his way. Barney, go ahead. More, your thoughts. More. Then we'll come back to Mike.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, I've been dealing with that kind of stuff since high school, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, by that time, I'm like in my 50s. I can't take any of that kind of crap, you know. It's just not in me. I mean, I did study martial arts for 15 years, but, you know, it's like a lot of people don't get any damn exercise. They're afraid to move. But, you know, my whole neighborhood walked out for that woman down in the street. And I can't count the number of times I had to deal with this stuff, you know. But I'm aware, I watch, you know, people watch you, I watch them. If I'm in the street where there's a lot of stuff going on, I watch everything. If somebody moves behind a parked car, I know he's there before he knows I know he's there. You know what I'm talking about? You can't just walk around blind. You also have to be aware of what's around you, and you have to deal with it when the time comes. But if you can avoid it, well, you do that, because there's always somebody looking for something, especially in the street, you know.
You're a splendid example of a good citizen and what a citizen ought to do, in my opinion. Mike thinks there aren't enough like you. No doubt that's correct, but that you're out there doing the right thing, I find inspiring. Mike, your thoughts?
35% of the population is going to be conscience doers no matter what. So the psychological breakdown is 25% psych sociopaths, 40% sheeple, they'll follow whoever's in authority, and 35%ers like yourself, myself, and your caller. Those people, unfortunately, were not enough. The 35%ers cannot tolerate the 25%ers taking over. The question with Rittenhouse is they're trying to make him an example, basically trying to say, if you do the right thing and you're a good Samaritan, like Kyle did, you're going to pay for it. You're going to suffer.
You know,
so victory
France,
is important.
You know, then you can be arrested. You have to protect other people. In France, it's the law. You know what I'm saying?
No, that's good. No,
it's
I like
the
that.
Law
we need that. We change our law to that. Then we need to change our law to that. That you are morally responsible if you see somebody being attacked to take action. No, I like that. That's a tangible thing we can do. You know, at state level.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good idea.
I mean, I'm out there. I was out there all the time. You know, I'm like, I don't. But then again, I trained myself because it started in high school. You know what I mean? people shoving me around. So I said, enough of this. I started working out, then took sport judo first. And then, you know, then I went into military. So, I mean, you know, I stand up. I don't care, you know. And if you can't do that, there's no point in doing anything, you know. But the thing is, when the neighbors see somebody else move, they'll move too. They won't just sit there like the woman on the subway who got raped. I'd go over there and pick him up and throw the guy across the room, you know.
Yeah, right.
I can't tolerate that bullshit, you know. They might have a knife. Well, I know how to deal with that too, you know.
But so, I'm saying that, you know, in the previous interviews with Jim, I've said we need 2 years of national service. The thing that will save this country would be 2 years of service in a corps of your choice. Doesn't have to be just the military, but police, military, firefighting, conservation corps, peace corps. That's what we really need, is to quicken the entire nation with some kinetic, moral, stoical strength, which we don't have. It's not coming out of the high schools, coming from the family. They're going from, you know, high school straight into consumerhood, and they're not seeing there's more to life than just making money and buying things. So we have the power to do this. We can order people to do things. The government can do that, but we need to do it for something really important. And this is one. Everyone should do 2 years of national service.
One thing about colleges and all.
Mike, let him speak. Go ahead.
Nobody gets any exercise. Nobody does a damn thing in these colleges. You know, they don't even know how to breathe right. I mean, I'm seriously not in touch with their bodies. You know, and that's part of the problem. Is the only you know, maybe Joe Rogan gets exercise, but nobody else does. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I mean, unless you're doing professional sports and you know, they're getting paid to do it. So the average person is not getting paid to, you know, to step in. But now everybody has cell phones, so you can call somebody immediately. You know, they might not show up, but you can start to defend. I mean, I've seen guys following women down the street, and I pull over on my bicycle, tell them, go the other way, get away from them, you know. Get away from her, period. I says, I better see you walking up the street and not towards her like this. You know, I mean, I lived in a city, so I knew, I see stuff all the time, you know, continuously. But if they know somebody, you know, I said to friends of mine who was in high school, and somebody was bugging him and threatening him. And I said, just tell your big friend to say a word to this guy. This way he'll know there's more than one person involved, and he'll leave you alone. And they left him alone. You know what I mean? But if you give the bully the edge, they'll take it, you know? And there's a lot of them out there, you know, a lot of mean, nasty people too, as well as the people that are afraid of them, you know? And like, you talk about your father was a mean person, you know. Well, so was mine. So what? You know, you got to stand
up. Yeah, you
got to
do something
sometime.
Mm-hmm.
You got to stand up. You got to stand up. If you don't stand up your whole life, what are you worth, you know?
Well, my situation was when I, you know, beat my father in arm wrestling, the terror in our house stopped. The day I beat him, you know, arm wrestling, that was it. He realized the gig was up. He couldn't push me around anymore, you know, in the Sparks family. He knew that I had more muscle strength than him at that time.
Right, but, you know, you're young, you can figure it out, but if you know how to see the world in the right way, you can deal with just about anything, you know. But people aren't taught that. They come home and watch TV and, you know, talk about movies and, you know, frivolous stuff, but they don't even know.
Well, that's why I wanted 2 years of national service. You know, let's get people back into kinetics, being kinetically connected to the world again. You know, Teddy Roosevelt said we had to do that. We had to set aside national park land so we didn't pave everything over. So we have to do it, and I think we have to tell, we have to mandate it. Some people will say, no, I don't want you to tell me what to do, but they'll thank you later. You know, got to make this younger generation do national service, in my opinion, 2 years. That's what other countries do to build character, stoical, moral character in their people. So we need to do in our country. We're finished. Yeah.
Now every 2 minutes, somebody's on the cell phone. You know, they came. You go to a gym, and everybody's looking down at the ground at the cell phone to see if anybody's calling them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, there's a drug addict factor. You know, when you get a cell phone message, you know, you get a high. You know.
My inference would be, Mike, that you'd favor, as do I, restoring the draft, because everyone needs to acquire that discipline, that background. It gets families involved again in decisions of war and peace, because absent the draft, their attitude is let someone else take the duty. Yeah. My sons and daughters aren't at risk, so I'm not going to care or get involved, which is terrible. Your thoughts?
Just don't use the word draft. You're shot down immediately if you use the word draft. So I say national service.
Yeah, okay. I like that.
It's required to get 2 years of national service in Israel, and I'm sure France and a lot of other countries do it too. So, I mean, it's just normal in most countries, you know, you got to do 2 years of national service.
I like that.
Yeah,
yeah,
we need
here, you know. The word draft is working against my proposal, so you got a nice correction. Barney, I'm just inspired by everything you've been telling us. I mean, I think your example is sensational. I'm very impressed and delighted you called in. I mean, add more thoughts of your own.
Well, I've been watching all this stuff for a long time, and, you know, even the 9/11 stuff, and you know, Homeland Security is an occupation, Israeli occupation force, I believe, you know. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on the financial end, and, you know, they just, it comes from that, from the, I mean, look, you got people in that don't care about the country and are trying to take it down anyway. So, I mean, you've got to be vigilant, you know. You can't just say, oh, they do this, do that. Simon Says do this. You don't, you do that, you're dead. Duck, you got to wake up. Wake people up. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. They're all in a trance, you know. I've been involved in a lot of media. I've done commercials and all kinds of stuff for local area stuff. And, you know, people like to see themselves. And, I mean, half of people run the country are just narcissists, and the rest of them are thieves. You know, the Chinese had the Chinese have 16 regimes that started with anarchy, went to gangsterism, then to a feudal lord, went back to gangsterism, then back to anarchy. 16 of them at least, right? So, I mean, it's just a pattern. It's just a pattern that plays out, you know. People who can see to create the laws know how to take advantage of the laws, and they all have a team that all work together as a team, and you know, the average person can do very little. I did a jury video. I sat there with judges for a whole afternoon talking about cases and this, and most of my friends are attorneys, you know, and most of them are afraid to take cases. I mean, most of the attorneys, you know, they got to make some money, or, you know, this, or it takes 5 years to get to get anything out of it. Nobody has any money up front. I mean, it's all money, 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 you know. And if you get a pro bono attorney, well, you know, they're going to do as little as possible because the state is picking it up, you know what I mean? So you got to be very careful. You got to be knowledgeable about a lot of things. You can't just sit home and watch television and think that it's all going to do it for you, you know. That's not what the hell are you doing, you know. And the only people go, huh? And then the only people go out and...
This, This has been a sensational call-in, Barney. I can't think of a better, more appropriate for having Mike here. And Mike, you've done a wonderful job of laying out your case, completely sensational. We're coming up against the break. Barney, would you like to make a final thought, and then Mike, a closing comment? Yours, Barney.
Well, you know, you're a person, you know, you're not going to be here that long, and with this COVID stuff, you're not going to hear much longer. You might as well stick your neck out, because if you don't, you just won't be here, and nobody will know you're even here when this is all done and over, if you don't put a little chutzpah into it, you know?
Anyway, that's all I had. Great call, Barney. Thank you. Mikey, for sensational. Thanks for everyone out for listening. And dying with your family. Don't go.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in...